John covered the perspective of raising boys. And it must be very difficult to raise boys because it took them two lessons to teach it. If you walked away feeling hopeless with your boys, then today's class give you a little more hope, because raising girls is a joy. It's worth the time and effort, and it may only take me about 15 minutes to cover it. So we'll see how long it lasts here. The good Lord knew what he was doing when he gave Karen and I young daughters to raise. I know that Karen and I would not have lasted in raising boys, especially if they were like me. Karen wouldn't be with us today, and I would be in an institution babbling to myself, I guarantee you. The girls were hard enough, but really, it's not really hard teaching young ladies. It's just getting their attention. But it was a joy raising my four daughters. I want to give you a little background about Karen and I so that you will understand where we're coming from and our background. Karen and I both were raised in the denominational church. We both had loving parents, good parents. We attended the denominational church, but in that church, we're brought up with the idea that dancing, music, social drinking were accepted. When we married, we both still were in the denominational church. 2 months after our marriage, I was baptized into the church, and 2 months after I was baptized, Karen was baptized. I had a friend that lived across the street from me that attended the Church of Christ in Brandon, and he hounded me forever. I would talk about institutional, talk about evolution, he would talk about the Bible. It took several years. In fact, he was my partner in business. It took him several years to convince me to sit down and study with him. And finally, I did that, and it didn't take long before I saw where I was going wrong in my life. After we got into the church, it took about 5 to 6 years before we really started to understand God's word. And to commit to doing the teachings of the word was all about. But in those years, coming into the church opened our eyes to some of the things that helped us and how we were going to raise our children. Some of the young married couples in the church that we began to socialize with were raised in very strict homes. Their behavior showed almost rebellion. They were at church on Sundays, yet when they weren't at church, they were doing the things I had given up to become a Christian. This floored both me and Karen. We knew we had to find a good balance somehow. It's difficult coming out of the denominational world and coming into the church and finding some of the things that you were doing, that these young Christian people, married young Christian people, were doing the things that I was trying to run away from. And I believe a lot of that was from the strict raising they had in their homes. And so those are some of the things that Karen and I would talk about. It wasn't only after we married that we talked about children, but even before we got married, we had discussions on how we wanted to raise our children. And we wanted it God-based. And we did a lot of discussing about that. I know that in watching our siblings raise their children, our nephews and nieces, gave us some idea of how we wanted to do our parenting. So through our own upbringing, our observation of how our nieces and nephews were being raised, our newfound introduction to the church, we began deciding how we would raise our children. We applied biblical principles to our parenting. The Bible was the ultimate guide. But we apply these principles based on our children's personalities, their individual needs, and the particular circumstances we dealt with. We reason through the things with a biblical perspective rather than having predetermined answers for every situation that might come up. I noticed that a lot of parents, it's a lot of no, 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 no. There's not a lot of discussion going on in what circumstance might come up. And I think that really puts a barrier between you and that child. I think there's got to be, take each individual in each situation at hand and talk to your child about that. And then apply the principles, set those rules, set those boundaries. They've got to know those boundaries and rules. You just don't come up with a rule automatically. I mean, you've got to discuss that with your child so he knows the boundaries and the rules that you have in your household. At the time, we didn't know we'd be raising all girls. But looking back, our parenting styles was well received by girls. Females are more emotionally driven. They want to be heard and to have a connection with their parents. When you meet their emotional needs and reason through situations with them, they feel respected and loved. Even when the outcome isn't in their favor, spend the time to show you care rather than just putting a firm foot down. Because I'm the parent, it goes a lot further with girls. Parenting is a relationship. It starts from the day your newborn girl is in your arms. There's a relationship the family has as a whole. But there needs to be an individual relationship between parent and child. My relationship with each of my girls is unique. Karen's relationship with each of them is unique. It takes time and effort and sacrifice to create the trust, respect, and honor that is necessary in this type of relationship. And dads, if you don't put the time into it, you will not reap the results of that time. You've got to take time with your children. I know when, like I said, we didn't know we were going to have girls. Actually, we really don't know what it's like to raise just one child because Karen's first pregnancy, our first children were two daughters. That floored both of us, really. We had an idea we would have twins, but the doctor kept saying, no, you're not, but we did have two little precious little girls. And you that are parents, you know what it's like to see that little creature that God has given you. How sweet, how innocent. It just, it's a feeling I can't express. And to bond with them is just unbelievable. I took time to bond with my kids. I had that opportunity because I owned my own business. So I was able to be home a little bit more than most people. But I was able to bond with them. I feel that I have a special relationship with my girls. And you will too if you'll put the time into it and spend time with your children. But I want to speak to you more specifically on the father-daughter relationship. John already spoke about the difference of the biological difference between girls and boys. It's no surprise that God created us differently. The way a man treats his wife is a pattern for how we should also treat our daughters. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker vessel and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You fathers, when you raise your daughters, you're raising future wives and mothers. Treat them in the way you would expect their future spouse to treat them. You are the lens they will view all other relationships with other men that come into their lives, for better or for worse. You know, with your daughters, it's so important that they see that relationship that you have between you and your wife. They learn so much by just observing what is happening in your home daily. They are learning something. In those young years, just think of how much they are cramming into their minds and learning at that time. And it's very important that we are treating our wives as we read here in 1 Peter 3. I'd like to read an excerpt, something from that James Dobson, in James Dobson's book about raising girls, that emphasizes how crucial the father-daughter relationship is from the time a daughter is born. It's a quote from a counselor and an author named Norman Wright. And I have it here somewhere. Here it is. It's called Why Daddies Matter. Your relationship with your father was your critical initial reaction with a masculine gender. He was the first man whose attention you wanted to gain. He was the first man you flirted with, the first man to cuddle you and kiss you, the first man to prize you as a very special girl among all other girls. All these experiences with your father were vital to the nurturing of the element which makes you different from him and all other men. Your femininity, which we call the femininity. The fawning attention of a father for his daughter prepares her for her uniquely feminine role as a girlfriend, as a fiance, and as a wife. If there was something lacking in that relationship with your father when you were a child, the development of your femininity suffered the most. Why? As a little girl, you, by nature, expressed all the budding traits of the feminine gender. If your father was emotional or physically absent, or was harsh, rejecting, or angry toward you, you automatically and subconsciously attach his disapproval to your femininity. You didn't have the intelligent capability to understand his rejection, nor did you have the inner defense structure to insulate yourself against it. You simply and naively reasoned, I want Daddy to like me. Daddy doesn't like the way I am. I will change the way I am so Daddy will like me. When a father does not value or respond to his father's femininity, she is stunted in her development. When a daughter has little experience in delighting her father as a child, she is incomplete. She is left to discover her femininity for herself, and often with tragic results in her relationship with men. I think that's very true, what they have written here. Dad, your influence, or your influence in her entire life, you are the center of her life as a male, because she gives Dad an authority she gives no other man, no one at all, not her brother, not her boyfriend, or even her husband. It's a relationship, like I said, you just can't explain it. I know you have that same relationship, Mike, with your two daughters. So it's that relationship that you build on as time goes by. doing a lot of talking up here. We will, in a little bit, you'll have time to ask some questions and all. Dad, it's crucial that you play an active role in the upbringing of your daughter. If you leave the bonding and the emotional connections up to your wife and you only enforce discipline, your daughter will see dysfunction. You do not have to understand the female mind to create an emotional connection. You have to be less logical, which is the typical male trait, and think from the heart when you raise girls. Because if you connect at the heart, they feel it. If you don't connect with their hearts, they will seek that connection in another place or from another male in an unhealthy way. The signs of this type of dysfunction are all over our society. We see that everywhere now, in broken homes, throughout our nation and all. These young ladies that did not have that guidance in their home, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, they've looked for that male connection in another way, and it's disastrous. It's a shame. There's two verses I like dads to keep in mind. It's Proverbs 22:6, if you like to turn there, and Ephesians 6:4. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs says to train. You must take in consideration the child's habits and her interests when you're training this young child. Who is this child? As an individual. Being a girl versus a boy changes the way you train a child. You train them to nurture. You train them the nurture and admonition of the Lord, no matter what, but do it in a way that provides the desired results. In Ephesians, if you would turn to Ephesians 6:4, it says not to provoke your children to wrath. In 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians says not to provoke your child to wrath. If dads try to train and discipline their daughters the same way that they would raise a boy, or how they will raise a boy, it will be definitely provoking to that young daughter. It will provoke that daughter to anger. It's not the same. You've got, with a girl, it's more the love, the tender, her emotions. You've got to take all that in consideration. What works with a boy is often unreasonable and unattainable for a girl. In Dean's class, he had already given us an example with his girls, that looking at girls with a look of disappointment and using words to express how their decisions let you down is almost always more effective with girls. I think my daughters know my look. I mean, you could, that look across the room, they would just melt. They would melt right where they're standing. They knew what it meant. And then there's the look of joy and of tenderness and love also, where they just really knew that look of discipline. It didn't take long. Make the punishment fit the crime. Being unreasonable, severe breaks them down and breaks the emotional connection with your daughter. You will probably find you do not have to get their attention the same way you do with boys, as long as the training starts at birth. in Proverbs 3 and 4, we're not going to turn there, but it talks about training and honoring God. It talks about considering the value of wisdom. It talks about the kind and being kind and generous to others. Those are some of the things that we try to instill in our training to our young daughters. Trusting and honoring God is number one to me. Considering the wisdom that others might have for them, consider that. They've been around. They know what's happening. There's a lot to learn from those older folks like myself. I know in my childhood, I hung around more of the older men, 45, 50, 60 years old. And I learned an awful lot from these older men and from their wisdom. Be kind and generous to others, especially your sisters in our household. And it's to anyone, we stress that, to be kind to one another, be kind to those that you come in contact with. These, and then in chapter 4, it talks about acquiring wisdom, to avoid bad company, and to watch yourself. Those also are very, very important in training your daughters. These things can only be taught to your daughters by developing a personal relationship with them. You have to spend time with them for them to see you live in this manner. Spend time with them to provide opportunities to talk about things that matter in their lives and guide them with wisdom and kindness. Don't focus on the material things, but on the things like choosing who they may date, choosing a spouse. Those are the things you need to be talking about, not just all the material things in life. You need to be talking about those things that really affect their salvation. Drive that home. Sometimes you might not think that your daughter is listening to you, but they are. They understand Dad. Don't make your relationship with your daughter all about enforcing the rules and boundaries, but also about creating trust, respect, love. Those are the things that my daughters and I sat down and talked about. When they're young, I don't know how young they were, I started taking my little daughters on dates, little tots. And those were special moments for both of us. We would go out, of course, me traveling, in my own business, selling, I was in the nursery business, and I'd visit customers and all. And I would see, might be a little rough day for Mom, and I'd say, Mom, I'm taking two of the girls with me. And we'd go on a date. It was a date to them. And they enjoyed seeing the things that Daddy did. They enjoyed being with me. We would talk. If it was Amber, she would talk. We would sing, joke around, especially Amber and I. We had, we would sing opera to church songs, to all different things. It was crazy times with my little girls. Well, we even still do that now. So it didn't stop. But those are the special times I had with my little babies. Was our little dates we'd go on. I spent time with my daughters one-on-one. We might go for a walk. And some of the questions they would have for Daddy, maybe some of the things they didn't feel like discussing with Mom, but some of the things they would come up with and talk with Daddy were special to me. So what I'm trying to say, guys, is spend time with those little ones. We live in a busy world today that takes us away so much from the family unit. And we've got to make time. We've got to consciously make that time for our little ones, and especially those little girls. Those years is what's going to be molding them into the young ladies that they are today. Instill responsibilities. Our daughters were part of a family unit from a young age. They were making beds, picking up toys, cleaning a bathroom, etc., etc. As I said, I owned a nursery, and our girls were expected to work. We didn't pay our daughters an allowance. We were one of those terrible parents. We didn't pay them for the things that they were expected to do. But when they were responsible, they were able to do all the extra things. We would take them places or allow them to spend time with friends. Maybe it wouldn't work in everybody's household, but in our household, we had things that were expected from our daughters. There were things that they had to do. It was taught at a very early age. And it's probably things that that's carried on through in their adult lifehood now. But, you know, you would teach them responsibilities of at home, responsibilities of finances, money, all these things I would talk with my daughters about. I want to talk to you about one time with one of my daughters. Her name starts with an E. We went to the Strawberry Festival. That was something that was very special to all of us. The Strawberry Festival's in town. Here we go. We're going to have a blast. Well, like I said, they didn't have an allowance, money to spend or anything. So when we went to the fair, normally I'd give them some cash and say, okay, do what you like, buy what you want, and here we are. So I'm talking about little girls. I'm not talking about grown daughters. I'm talking about 10, 11 years old, 12 years old maybe. So we go to this fair. We're out at the Midway where all the rides are. Mandy and Melinda up to the ticket booth. They pull out their money. They buy their tickets. Here, Aaron goes up, walks up to the ticket booth. And it's taking a long time. And I'm looking at her, and what's happening? And is she up there haggling with the guy about price? Or, you know, I only want this, I want that. Or so soon I see her turn around coming back. No tickets in her hands. I'm looking at her and saying, well, what happened here? She comes up, she looks at me, and she says, Daddy, those tickets are just too expensive. It's just not worth it. I'm going to keep my money. It floored me. Looked at Karen, I said, man. So I ended up buying all their tickets because Aaron didn't buy hers. And they all kept their $20. So anyway, she learned the value of money. She felt that it was unreasonable what they wanted to ride rides. Not only did their responsibility serve themselves, but they served the family as a whole. They saw us serve without expecting anything in return, and that's what we expected of them. There's not a better way to prepare your daughters for motherhood than train them to serve selflessly. The entire experience of motherhood is about putting others before yourself for years and years and years. That's what our mothers do. How blessed we are with our mothers, the time that they give us. And that's what I try to instill into our daughters, to serve others. There's many days that, and they went with me sometimes, but many days that I was away helping others. And I wanted them to understand. They'll come back and they say, what are you doing? Where were you, Daddy? What are you doing? Well, so-and-so had a power steering pump on their car broke down. I replaced it. I put it on their car, you know, or somebody's roof was leaking, so I went and repaired it. But I wanted to understand that serving others was a good thing and that they need to be doing the same thing in their life. So it was something that I wanted them to understand and to do. It was a responsibility they had. Proverbs 31, the worthy woman. We all know that. That chapter. We see that she was a productive member of society. She did the things that were necessary for her family and also planned for her finances. Her hands were never idled. That's what we're raising, young ladies as our worthy women in this time and day. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about discipline. Discipline, of course, is for little girls, it's a little bit different than boys. Yes, little girls got punished. Our preferred method was Prunus persica. That was our preferred method of using. Do any of you know what that is? You never heard of it? It's a peach limb. A switch. We had a peach tree that grew out in the backyard. And that's what we used to get our children's attention. And here I want to bring something about discipline of one of the girls. Again, it's Big E I want to talk about, Aaron. Aaron got a scholarship. She got scholarships because she had a D in, I don't know what subject. She doesn't even remember. But anyway, she got a D. That's not Aaron. Aaron was a straight A student, A and B's. That was nothing like Aaron. She's so disciplined. We came home one night. She didn't tell us about it for quite a while. We came home one night, there's an envelope on Karen's pillow, wasn't it? And in that pillow, in that envelope was a note. And Erin had put herself on restrictions. Yeah, she did it. She put herself on restrictions. Said, this is what I'm gonna do. I can't do this, I can't do that. Until I bring up my grade to an A. And by the next grade period, she had it up to an A. She knew that she was in trouble. She knew that she was going to get talked to. We couldn't do anything about that. She already put herself on the decision on the restrictions. So she understood what discipline was all about. In discipline, we reasoned with our girls that God sees it all. God is there. He knows what is happening. It's like he's right here on your shoulder. He knows what is happening. So you might as well be truthful in what you do, in what you say, because he already knows the truth. As they grew older, we spoke more directly about the biblical perspectives on the errors they made and how to make it right. Our girls, like most, were affected more in the disappointment we felt, especially the disappointment I expressed, Dad expressed. That is what got to their heart the most, is when I expressed how disappointed I was in, that I was, in their actions. We tried not to discipline in or punish them from anger. Try to stay away from that. Both Karen and I enforced whatever punishment was necessary whenever it was necessary, and we did not undermine one another. I think that's important. You know, and a lot of, and I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes and make you feel bad or anything, but you know, I see parents and their discipline is, if you don't do this, Johnny or Sally or whatever, this is going to happen. And then it's, all right, one, two, two and a half. It didn't happen in our house that way. It was, here's the switch, here we go. Or it was a stern talking to. There wasn't any second chances. If you made that mistake, you paid for that mistake. I know your daughter, I know, Dad, that your daughter is your little angel. But don't let your adoration of your daughters get in the way of disciplining them effectively. They can get to your heart real quick. And sometimes we hold back on that discipline when it really needs to be enforced. Enforce the rules and boundaries without destroying the love and respect you have earned from your kids. Something that happened with Melinda. Is Melinda here? There she is. Hey, honey. And this blew both, is that the first bell? Oh my goodness. This blew both Mike and Karen's mind. We don't know where it came from. But at the age of 6 or 7, we were on vacation. We stopped in Georgia. We were going to buy clothes at one of these outlet places. I think it was JCPenney's or something. So we go in, grab a cart, and we're pushing this cart. Melinda's pushing the cart, and it wouldn't. It was just acting up and everything. And she said, this doggone cart, but it wasn't doggone, it was a curse word. I thought Karen was going to flip out. Well, she did flip out. It floored both of us. We couldn't get to the car soon enough. And of course, Mama, you know, where did this come from? Well, you know, but those little things are going to pop up because of the society that we're in today. Those things will pop up. They're going to hear things. They're going to do things that they see others doing. So that's where we as fathers need to really be aware of and be aware of what's happening so that we can take care of it now, not letting it go by. I want to talk to you a little bit about self-esteem. There isn't anyone who can help build up self-esteem of a daughter more than her father. Talk and encourage your girls in all the things they do well and reassure them in the things they struggle with. In 1 Peter 3:3-4, talks about this, well, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sights of God, in the sight of God. For this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. We stress that your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or wearing gold jewelry or fine clothing. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. Dads, don't make the mistake of focusing on their looks and sense of style all the time. A lot of dads, that's all they do, is build them up and build them up. You need to really try to build them up also, their self-esteem through their schoolwork, through the hobbies and their interests and their talents. And you're not going to know those things unless you're spending time. I can't stress this enough. If you're not spending time with that young lady. Modesty. Modesty, the way they dressed and stuff like that. The girls, we really didn't worry about a whole lot of that because the girls knew what we expected. The focus wasn't centered on how short their dress was and stuff like this. And it wasn't, we didn't obsess over how they looked, but more on how they presented themselves inside is more about their character and their attitude that counted. I know when they were little, of course, I told them how beautiful they were, which they were, and they are. They would have little fashion shows for Dad. Mom and the girls would go school shopping, and they'd come home. And that evening, Dad would get home, and they have already planned a fashion show for Dad. So I got to say, oh, that was beautiful. That is the correct thing you should be wearing. That, you know, just those little things that were so important and so special to us, it helped drive home their self-esteem. I guess I'm out of time. So I've got a few more things I'd like to cover. Maybe we can cover that in the next class. And I guess it is hard to raise girls too, because it's going to take two classes. But anyway.
How about that?
Yeah!